In scriptures, the human body is often referred to as the temple of God. Yet, it is quite an uncommon privilege for any soul to attain this sacred abode that houses the divine, as it is truly a blessing to be reborn as a human being. On several occasions, Supreme Master Ching Hai has spoken about the rarity of this phenomenon.
To be reincarnate in the human world is hard. You have to have enough human quality. You have to have affinity with the parents, yeah? And with the society, with the people around which you were born. And very difficult. To be a human, you need some merit. You have done something good in the past in order to be able, yeah? To be able to pick a human birth.
As a living temple of God, the human body is fully equipped with miraculous wonders that can be awakened in those who are spiritually conscious and have complete faith in the Creator of all life. Inedia, Latin for fasting, is the human ability to live without food. Since time immemorial, there have always been individuals who can sustain themselves on prana, or the vital life force. Through the grace of the providence, inediates, people who follow a food-free lifestyle, can draw the energy from nature to nourish themselves.
They live on the chi, from the ground, from the forest, and from the sun and from the air. They make use of all that. Or they live on love and faith alone.
These individuals are known as breatharians, pranarians or inediates, solarians or watarians, and they come from all walks of life, from different cultures and all corners of the world. Indeed, the possibilities and miracles in this life, as our benevolent Creator has designed for us, are endless. We only need to connect within to recognize our abounding largesse as God's children. Supreme Master Ching Hai has lovingly recommended a weekly series on Supreme Master Television to introduce those individuals of the past and present who have chosen to live food-free on Earth. May their spiritual stories enthrall you, may hearts be opened and horizons be expanded. We now invite you to join us for our program, St. Marianne de Paredes, the Lily of Quito, on Between Master and Disciples.
This program discusses the possibility of breatharianism, or living without eating food, and is not a full instruction. For your safety, please do not attempt to cease eating without proper expert guidance.
In the last years of her life, it was so evident that the Eucharistic bread was her only food, that everyone believed it. And it had ceased to be a matter of surprise.
Hello, blessed viewers. Welcome to Between Master and Disciples on Supreme Master Television. Today we go back in time to the 17th century to meet Saint Marianne de Paredes, also renowned as the Lily of Quito, who was a revered saint from Quito, Ecuador. Respected for her ability to exist without food, Saint Marianne de Paredes lived for many years solely on the wafer-thin Holy Communion, relying on her divine love of Jesus to sustain her physical body. Saint Marianne de Paredes was born on October 31, 1618, to a family with a noble lineage in Quito, Viceroyalty of New Granada, a Spanish colony which later became Ecuador. Her father, Don Jerónimo Flores Tenel de Paredes, was a noble from Toledo, Spain, while her mother was Doña Mariana Granobles y Jaramillo, who was likewise of an aristocratic ancestry. Saint Marianne de Paredes was the youngest of their 8 children. Her parents were considered to be devoted Christians, much respected by the townspeople. In fact, whenever their fellow citizens talked about the Paredes family, they called them the House of Prayer or the House of Saints. According to the Saint Marianne de Paredes biography, the life of the Blessed Marianne of Jesus, de Paredes y Flores, an American virgin called the Lily of Quito. Author Father Buero revealed that as soon as she was born, Saint Marianne de Paredes was already a source of wonder. She refused to take any milk from her mother for an entire day. It marked the beginning of Saint Marianne de Paredes' inclination towards a food-free life.
The very same thing happened two or three times in succession, nor could the mother, with all her endeavors, ever induce the dear little babe to take nourishment more than twice a day and at determinate hours, viz., towards midday and about midnight, and was observed moreover that on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays of every week it commenced and always continued to take nourishment but once and that at midday. Then at last they perceived that it was not an effect of the badness of the nourishment, but the virtue of abstinence which operated unpremeditately, and as it were by a prodigy in this soul.
After she was weaned, Saint Marianne de Paredes continued to eat very little food. Indeed, she reduced her food consumption even further, abstaining from food 3 days a week. Her widowed mother and the entire household tried to tempt her with all kinds of delicious meals. Yet Saint Marianne de Paredes remained firm in her resolve not to eat. Extraordinarily, unlike other young children, at 4 years of age she was already giving away any sweet treats she received as presents to others. As a young child, Saint Marianne de Paredes was very much influenced by her mother's piety, often imitating her in prayers and supplications to God. Even after her mother passed away when she was 5 years old, Saint Marianne de Paredes' remarkable faith became stronger. Living with her older sister, Doña Jerónima, and her family, Saint Marianne de Paredes was often found to be absorbed in her devotion to Jesus.
She spent all the time which was not employed in this innocent occupation in exercise of piety, retiring to places set apart for prayer, reading good books and the lives of saints, and in vocal prayers. She erected a little altar in her chamber and upon it placed a little statue in bas relief of the Most Blessed Virgin and another likewise of the infant Jesus. Here she passed many hours either in adoring the two images or in praying before them. She, although she was younger than her three nieces, still by her wisdom and maturity beyond her age, had acquired such authority and reverence that they all regarded her as their guide and mistress.
In addition to the daily prayers, the young Saint Marianne de Paredes often spent her time in solitude doing penances that were often too extreme for a child not yet 10 years old. Impressed by her devotion and worship of Jesus, Father Camacho, her confessor, agreed to allow her to take part in the Holy Communion service, which was unheard of for one so young. Prior to her first Holy Communion, Saint Marianne de Paredes renounced her title of Doña, vowing to remain chaste for the rest of her life. By the time she reached 10 years old, Saint Marianne de Paredes renewed her vow of chastity, as well as adding two more: the vows of poverty and obedience. Subsequent to making the vows of poverty, she gave away all her property and possessions bequeathed to her by her parents. Two years later, Saint Marianne de Paredes persuaded her sister and her confessor to allow her to live as a hermit. According to Catholic tradition, a hermit was a person who worshipped God in an environment that was secluded from the rest of society. A hermit was a Christian living as an eremitic as a result of his religious conviction for the purpose of changing and expanding his heart. Receiving their consent, Saint Marianne de Paredes moved to a chamber separated from the rest of the house, decorating her living quarter with a few pieces of furniture of the poorest quality.
From the moment the blessed child, at the age of 12, voluntarily shut herself up in her retirement, she lived in the midst of the world, within the walls of her paternal home and in a thickly crowded city, no otherwise than if she had been in the most remote and forsaken solitude of the desert. She no longer allowed anyone from without to enter her rooms, nay, not even her nearest relatives of the house, except very rarely, or on business, desiring to live solely to herself, and completely aloof from the world, which she had renounced forever.
Once in seclusion, Saint Marianne de Paredes continued her abstinence of food, relying solely on the Eucharist as sustenance. In a note to her confessor, Saint Marianne de Paredes outlined her weekly schedule, which included:
in time of Advent and Lent, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I will make my prayer from 10 to 12 at night on the cross. On Fridays, I will, moreover, place peace in my shoes, wear a crown made of thistles, and I will fast a whole week, without tasting a morsel of anything. On Sundays, I will take an ounce of bread, and every day communicate with the grace of God.
Eventually, her food-free lifestyle spread throughout the city. Those who questioned the veracity of her immediate state soon became convinced by the first-hand accounts of those who knew her.
All who gave testimony in the different processes, either as eyewitness or who spoke to their own certain knowledge of Marianne Fastest, all without exception agreed in affirming that by a special favor of Almighty God she lived for many years and was entirely supported by the heavenly and spiritual food, which she received every day in Holy Communion, having no longer any need of material or earthly food.
Religious authorities in the city of Quito further affirmed her ability to be nourished by the grace of God and her love for Jesus.
That she really lived on Holy Communion, the testimonial of Father John Camacho, Antonio Monosalvas, and Alfonso Rosas, who, from having been her confessors, were acquainted with her every action, even the most insignificant, although hidden and interior, leaves no room for doubt.
In addition to her fame as an immediate, Saint Marianne de Paredes was much loved by the city's less fortunate. With permission from her sister and brother-in-law, Saint Marianne de Paredes generously distributed food to the poor, as well as joined the household servants daily in kneading and baking bread, which she later gave away the same day. Similar to other well-known immediates in history, such as Blessed Alfred of Coudoux, Saint Marianne de Paredes' entire being also emitted a fragrance, as well as any possession associated with her.
Finally, I am persuaded that the most delicious odor which the body of Mary Ann exhaled, and which communicated itself to everything which she used, was the effect or demonstration of her immaculate purity. Such, at least, was the unanimous opinion of all witnesses who gave evidence in the different processes. They said that both her person as well as her clothes sent for almost always such a fragrant odor.
After she passed away in 1645, at the age of 26, her body was still exuding a fragrance noticeable to all those who paid their last respects. Indeed, the fragrance permeated her coffin and was still present when it was opened 3 years later. Additionally, soon after her death, Saint Marianne de Paredes became widely known as the Lily of Quito, when a pure white lily suddenly grew overnight upon her death from a hole in which her attendant servant usually buried Saint Marianne de Paredes' blood after her acts of severe penance when she was still alive. Over 200 years later, on November 10, 1853, Saint Marianne de Paredes was beatified by Pope Pius IX. Subsequently, a century later, she was canonized by Pope Pius XII on July 9, 1950. Similar to many others throughout the centuries, Saint Marianne de Paredes once more demonstrates the human body's ability to survive solely on God's grace. Her faith and love for God not only uplifted her spirit, but also nourished her physical body. Courageous viewers, we appreciate your company for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Good People, Good Works, coming up after Noteworthy News. May heavens grace your life with an abundance of joy and loving kindness.
literature on living food free. For a complete list, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/breatharians.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.